for those of you that weren't here last night, it was good. Well, haven't been here. I mean, when he like you said, Proverbs 13:4, that scripture, you know, I always, when I read that, I literally took it as, you know, in the flesh, you know, physically, what God would do for us. And before he even said it, and I read that, I mean, it just went, spiritually, you'll have to look up 13:4. Spiritually, you know, a lazy man within the things of the Spirit is not going to get anything from God. But if you're diligent and you go in there and you dig in there and you take the keys that we have been teaching and preaching for the last 4 years, you're going to find such a gold mine. You are going to be so rich, not only in your spirit, but physically, amen, financially, every area of your life, because you have taken the things of God and you have let them work in your life. Anyway, that's not where I'm headed exactly, but anyway, that was so good. All I can say is once we get those messages up on the website, go back and re-listen to them. That was good. That was good. But you all can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go over to verse 10. As to each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does that mean? Manifold grace of God. Manifold. What does manifold mean? How about good stewards? What's a steward? What's a good steward? You know, these, you know, when I read that, I kept thinking, manifold. What's manifold? You know, to me, that was just kind of Greek. I wasn't grasping, you know, what that meant. So let's read that scripture this way. As to each one of us has received a gift, a spiritual endowment, an inheritance, minister it unto one another as good stewards, as valuable managers of the manifold grace of the many and numerous blessings, riches, and power of God granted to us by unearnable favor. Does that make a little bit more sense to you? It did me. We who are in the body of Christ have been given an inheritance, a rich inheritance. All of heaven has been given to us. Anything that we could ever imagine or ask for is at our disposal. Jesus said everything in heaven is his, and when he went to the cross and rose from the dead, he turned around and he gave it all to us. He purchased it. This inheritance was purchased by him for us, and it's for a reason. All of the riches of heaven are at our disposal. Okay, since all the riches of heaven are at our disposal, you're probably wondering, then why is it hard for me to get my bills paid every month? Why am I having a struggle getting healing in my body? Why do I feel a lack of peace? Why are all these things happening to me? You know, if all this is at my disposal. Well, there's reasons for that, and I'm not going to go into all those kind of reasons. But the Word of God is true. It doesn't matter. The Word of God is truth. Truth is truth, no matter if you believe it, no matter if it's in operation in your life. Truth is truth. The Word of God is truth, and it will always be truth, and it will never change no matter what shape your life is in. It's always going to be truth. The thing is we have to let, through the Holy Spirit, that truth become a revelation to us so it can be manifested in our lives. It says here in Peter that we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grace is a free, unearnable gift. And God has mountains and mountains of this grace available to us. As far as the eye could see, have you ever seen a mountain range like the Appalachians or the Smokies or the Rockies? Have you noticed, as far as the eye could see, you can see these peaks? forever and ever. That's how God's grace is to us. Forever and ever, He has these mountains of grace for us. But we can only access that grace through faith. Well, how does faith come about in our lives? It's through the Word of God. Truth in the Word of God. So faith comes by the Word of God. Now, the exaltation of God and Him moving us from one level to another comes by faithfulness and obedience. God is watching to see what we're going to do with the knowledge that has been given to us. What the truth, what we're going to be doing with that truth that has been presented to us. He's watching to see if we're going to apply this to our lives or not. Exaltation comes by faithfulness and obedience. You have to be faithful and obedient. He's called us to be stewards. He's called us to manage. He's called us to do. He's called us to carry out the truth. He's called us to dig in and find out what the mysteries of God are and what His will is for each of our individual lives. That's what He's called us to do. And this scripture from Proverbs 13:4 just goes right in with this. We have to spiritually dig in. We can't be lazy about the things of God in our lives and expect God to do things for us or expect things to come about in our lives. We are called to take those mysteries of God. We're called to take those things that we don't understand with our natural mind, and we're called to access our teacher, the Holy Spirit, and with His help, go in there and let Him bring that revelation to us.
Amen.
By God's grace and the Holy Spirit, we need to empty ourselves of all our human efforts, all those daily cares of living, all those fleshly frustrations. We need to just empty ourselves out to God, empty ourselves out to the Holy Spirit to let Him help us through all this stuff. We're not called to just sit on our inheritance week by week, service by service. We're not called to do that. Our inheritance was given to us for a purpose. Our inheritance is not to heap things up upon ourselves. I remember back in the late 70s, I came into the faith message back in the late 70s. I'm a graduate of Rhema. And so I went through all that of the name it and claim it thing that went on for so long. You know, it's like, oh, I can have a better car and I can have a bigger house and I can have this and that. And a lot of it was a little bit misguided because we were seeing things as like heaping things on ourselves. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house that, you know, is kept up. There's nothing wrong with having a dependable car. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, these other little luxuries, as we call them. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we have a daddy in heaven who loves us, and daddies like to give good gifts to their children. But, are they sanctified for His use? If He was to come to you and say, okay, you know that car that I gave you a few months ago? Will you use it every week to go around and pick people up? Or, you see that family over there? They don't have a dependable vehicle. Would you be willing to give your vehicle to them? And I mean, you know that it's the Spirit of God dealing with you about this kind of stuff. Are you sanctified enough? Are these things in your life that He's given you sanctified enough that you'd be willing to give them up for His use for the kingdom in order for souls to be saved? We're not called to take our inheritance and hide it and use it for later. We're not called to store it up and hoard it afraid that it's not going to be there. We haven't been called to do that. Our inheritance is to increase the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yeah, hallelujah.
And you know what the kingdom of God is all about? Souls.
Amen.
The bottom line is souls.
Right.
Everything that we have in our lives should be used and have the mindset of souls for the kingdom of God. Our money, you can't plant your money and reap a harvest. You know, of money. That isn't how it is. You plant your money to be able to go in so the money can be sanctified and used to these other, to these ministries who are out there getting people born again, ministering to them, seeing that their needs are met. That's what it's all about. The bottom line in the kingdom of heaven is souls. Born again people. That's it. That's all there's to it. It's souls. And everything that He's given to us in our inheritance here on this earth today is for the purpose of getting people born again. Proverbs 11:30. You might want to write that down and go back and look at it later. We won't read it. Go there and look at it. But Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." There are sections in the body of Christ that have only, you know, gone so far in their inheritance. You know, some of them only believe in salvation. Some of them believe in salvation, but, you know, they believe in some healing, but only if it's God's will. You know, because you never know. God could be trying to teach you something through that sickness. Bless their hearts. But I'm going to tell you something. It is always God's will to heal.
Amen.
Always. Bottom line, always. Instantaneous miracles don't always happen. They don't always happen. You know, but we have an accountability when the word has been revealed to us. We have an accountability to make a stand. And others around us to join us and help us make a stand, you know? We have to get an image of seeing ourselves healed, and I don't care how long it takes, you know? Healing in your finances, healing in your body, healing in your mind, it doesn't matter. You know, we need to make a stand. We need to lock our knees and stand there for with the Word of God, because the Word is truth. Now, it may not always happen, and I know people lose their battles here on earth in the process of making a stand. They do lose their battle, and that's just how it is, you know. But just because somebody loses their battle doesn't mean the Word is not truth.
That's right.
It doesn't. It does not matter. What matters is that you keep going. You don't know what was in the heart of that person between them and the Father. Just like if it was me that went home early for some reason, you don't know what was in my heart and between me and the Father. You know, praise God, I won't go home early for some reason. But, you know, anyway. Somewhere, you know, along the line, people have been talked out of their inheritance, been talked out of parts of their inheritance. They've been talked out of praying in other tongues. They've been talked out of healing. They've been talked out of prosperity. They've been talked out of lots and lots of stuff. But salvation is just one part, is only one part of this vast inheritance that God has for us. And thank God for the people who only believe in salvation. You know? Because the bottom line is souls. But there's so much more. There is just so much more. So let's not stop. Let's not stop. Let's not let people talk us out of our inheritance. Let other doctrines and things like that, you know, talk us out of what we know to be truth. Let's not let other things be an excuse for what God has freely given to us. And I said, freely. God has freely, freely given us all things. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:12 because I want you to see that what I'm saying is true. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely, freely given to us by God. Keep going after it. Be diligent. Be diligent to apply the things that you have learned And you know, it may take a while before the manifestation comes to your life, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay, because God's grace is there with you to achieve that if you don't quit. It clearly states here that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as our teacher, but the Spirit who is from God. And it says that we might know. Well, you are only going to know those things that have been freely given to you by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's the only one that can reveal those things to you. He's your guide. Now, what comes in, our part, our responsibility as being good stewards is going after the stuff that we've been taught. Find out for ourselves. Just don't take my word for it. Don't take Pastor Charlie's word for it. Don't take Pastor Earl and Bev's word for it or whoever else. Don't take the word for it. You get in there for yourself. You look up those things for yourself. You allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you personally. As they get revealed to you personally, and that light comes alive on the inside of you, nobody's going to talk you out of it. Because you know the truth. Hallelujah. Praying in other tongues, we've been talking a lot about that this weekend, is a major, major step in revelation knowledge and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you things. It's because as you're praying in other tongues, He will bring truth to you. He will open your mind up. He'll open your spirit up to things. Now, we also have an enemy, Satan, and it's his job to trick us out of our inheritance. And he's slick. He's slick. You know, we can get all hyped up, like Brother Charlie was just saying, you know, these messages, you know, you could get all pumped up and all excited and all this and like, yeah, I'm going to get in there. But then, you know, the cares of life come in and before you know it, before you even realize it, you know, you are way off over here instead of on the path over here just because of the cares and everything. Well, that's happened to me more than once. Things happen. Cares of life come in. Things happen. We're all vulnerable to that. But what you have to do is when you realize that you have split off over this direction and you're not in that prayer life like you should be, you're not spending time building a personal relationship with Him, you're not reading the Word, you're not confessing over your life the things of God for your life, as soon as you realize that, make a beeline right back for the road, the center of the road, and keep going. It's not how many times you veer off. It's how many times you decide you're going to get back and you're going to keep going. That's the only way you're going to win. If you give up over here and think, what's the use? I'll never make it. I keep doing this over and over and over, you know. The Holy Spirit, people, who lives on the inside of you, who is your friend, your constant companion, ask His help. You have not because you ask not. Amen. He'll show you little things in your life, little ways you can make adjustments in your daily life that you can spend that time with Him. He knows your schedule. He knows, you know, what your life is like, and everybody is different. He'll show you where to make those things so you can come in and you can spend time with Him. I don't care if it's starting out being 30 minutes a day or an hour a day. Doesn't matter. He'll show you where that time is that you can pull yourself away if you'll allow Him. We can't just sit around and think about the different things that God has given us. God is requiring that we take part in developing a deeper and a closer and a more intimate relationship with Him. He's requiring that from each one of us. But, you know, it's a choice. He's requiring us to pull ourselves away. He's requiring us to open our mouths and start telling Him. We just can't worship Him in our minds. We just can't pray in tongues in our minds. It doesn't work that way. God spoke things out. He's requiring us to speak things out. You worship with your mouth out loud, telling him. You pray in tongues. I don't care if it's just a whisper, but it's coming out of your mouth. You have to open your mouth. Now, God uses that power in praying in other tongues and confession and singing those songs of psalms and hymns and praises. Now, he uses all those things, every bit of it, to reveal truth to us about Jesus and about the Father. Because he takes those things that he hears from the Father and he hears from Jesus and he reveals them to us. That's scriptural. It's in there. It's in John. It's in there. What have you been doing with the inheritance that God has given you for the kingdom of God? Are you just sitting there, or are you laying up rewards for yourself in heaven? You know, people start out with the right attitude. You know, they want to be a good steward for Jesus. You know, and they want to go to work for him, not necessarily in the five-part ministry. They just want to accomplish what God has called them to do, no matter what that was or what that is. And they don't want to have to make all their decisions based on money. You just want to be obedient and do what he tells you to do. Okay? So you're doing your best to see Jesus as your provider. Even in your job, you're doing your best. Because, you know, that job is not your source. That job is just an avenue that Jesus is using for each one of us, you know, to be able to provide for our families and ourselves. So, you just want to serve Jesus. You don't want to work for money. You're working for him because you choose to. You're not doing it because you want a profit. Now, what starts to happen is when you start to prosper, God starts prospering you because of your obedience, that you tend to see that dedication starts to lessen. You tend to see that creature comforts start increasing at a faster rate. You tend to see that scheduled times of prayer get shorter. You tend to see that you want to spend more leisure time instead of time with God. See, that's the enemy coming in, using those things within us that aren't dead yet to steal out of the kingdom of God those things that would be used for the kingdom, to increase the kingdom, to get more souls saved. He's using those and pulling us off to one side. And it's all very slick, all very subtle, you know. And we have to be aware of that. Our dedication to God is much more severely tested during times of prosperity, during good times, than in bad times. When bad things are happening, most people pray. Most people cry out to God. In times of prosperity, how many people do you normally hear, you know, praising God, you know? You know, it's just what happens. Let's go over to Luke 16. We're going to start with verse 1. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. The word shrewd actually means wise. The Lord is commending the unjust steward for stealing from his rich man employer. That just doesn't make much sense, does it? Kind of causes your brain to go tilt. But we can tell from this passage that this steward, this manager, had power of attorney over his rich man employer's things. And he used that power to reduce the debt of these debtors who they owe to the rich man. He used that power. Some of them by 50%, he used his power to reduce the debt. Okay, now this man, this steward, was of the world. And Jesus called him wise. Now, not only wise, but he said he was wiser than the children of light. And the children of light is believers. So that's a pretty big slam, in my opinion. He's calling this person of the world a lot more wise, and he turns around to these, you know, believers and says, you know, he's wiser than you are. Okay, the steward's day of reckoning had come. It had come. His master had found out what he was doing. It had come. Now, it was judgment time, and he had to give an account of every single thing that he had done in all those years that he worked for this person. All during his employment. Now get this straight, and I want you to clearly hear this. Get this straight. Jesus is not saying it's right to steal. He's not giving his okay to go out and steal. All right? He's not condoning that. There's a principle. There's a question Jesus is asking, and there's a principle that he is trying to get across to everybody here. Why is he calling this steward wise? And it's because the steward had enough sense to look beyond the end of his employment. He was making provision for himself, so when his time was up, he had a way to survive. The Bible tells us that we bring nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything with us. Have you ever seen somebody who's passed away try to take everything they've accumulated with them? I mean, the Egyptians tried to do that with the pharaohs. You know, they loaded up these huge tombs, you know, but it just doesn't work. If we can just get it through our heads that we are only stewards, and everything that we have in this life belongs to God. The time that we have on earth is the only time we have to be His steward. This is the only time we have. This is our, I shouldn't say testing ground, but this is our time to prove ourselves to be a good steward for Him. What he's saying here is that he knew, this steward knew that his job was coming to an end, and so he was preparing for it. So he was wise enough to secure provision for the end of his job. Now, a steward of God, or I should say, let's go back to the unbelievers. Now, the Gentiles like he was, the stewards of Gentiles, only think this side of the flesh. They're consumed with. People are consumed with, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What am I going to drive? What am I going to live in? You know, you're consumed with the temporal immediate things. Okay, that's what they're thinking. Now, the steward of God, though, has to have a different mindset. And that mindset is beyond the flesh, beyond our time here on this earth. We have to be thinking of what's over there waiting for us on the other side. With this in mind, Jesus turns to the children of light and says, let's read down into verse 9 now, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon," meaning the power of personal wealth, that when you fail, or when your job, when your stewardship has come to an end, you may be received into, or they may receive you into an everlasting home. Jesus is telling them that if you can understand this, if you can grasp what I am telling you here, I can give you such wisdom, especially in finances, that you will put to shame every child of the world out there. I will give you such wisdom that even including Bill Gates, you will be wiser than this man. And Bill Gates is one of the richest men in the world right now. And he gives millions and billions of dollars to charities. Huge amounts. I watched a special about him, and it's amazing the kind of money he gives to charities. Now, Jesus is saying, I can make you wiser than that. There's a price to pay for that type of wisdom, but he can do that. There is a day. A day is coming when our stewardship here on this earth is going to end. Now, if you want to be a wise man in the same sense as this wise man, when your stewardship ends, you're going to take this unrighteous mammon, meaning your personal finances, your time, your talent, you're going to take these things, and you're going to make friends that will last forever. Meaning, all those finances and time and everything you've planted into the kingdom while on earth here to get people born again, and people get born again, when you die and you cross those pearly gates and you get over into heaven, they're all going to be there to greet you and welcome you into everlasting life. Every single person you help get born again is going to be there to greet you and say thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for giving of your time. Thank you for stopping and just sharing with me. Thank you for giving your finances to send so-and-so off to, you know, whatever country. You being obedient to do exactly what God has told you to do. I mean, when we tell you, when we go to Peru and we do these campaigns, we've been going down for 12 years, and everybody who's given in to these offerings to go and has wanted to be a part of it, every single of those Peruvians that are in heaven, when you get there, is going to greet you and say thank you for sending Brother Charlie and Sister Shelley over here. Thank you for sending them with the word to tell us about Jesus. Every single one of them. And it doesn't matter who you help that God tells you to help. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. Isn't that awesome? Our reward is over there. Our eyes are over there. Not here. This is temporal. This will end. But we've got to learn to become good stewards. Manage our time wisely. Manage our finances wisely. Manage our talents wisely for the kingdom of God. So if you've been looking at this inheritance thing as a money thing only, you've missed it. You've totally missed it. Because it's not. It's not. Our time is just as valuable. And I want you to go over to Ephesians 5. Let's go to verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There's that word again, wise. And understand what the will of the Lord is. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with those talents that God has put on the inside of you? Your time and your talents go hand in hand because it takes time to do your talent. Your time has been given to you as part of your inheritance. Some people may not agree with that, but it's the truth. God wouldn't tell us to redeem the time if He didn't mean redeem the time. Some of you may be thinking, well, you don't have to take the same steps as me because you're not in the ministry. Well, that's wrong thinking. This has nothing to do with ministry. This has to do with a personal walk, a daily one-on-one personal walk for each individual. Everyone is expected to take the necessary steps to walk into their inheritance. Finding out the perfect will of God for your life. My perfect will is not your perfect will. We all have, you know, God has something for each one of us. And it doesn't matter if you've been called to the ministry. It doesn't matter if you've been called to make money for the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you've been called to work a certain job where God has put you to be able to affect change on people's lives around you and get people born again on that job. He's got a special job for a special purpose because he's got people for you to reach. We're all laborers. When we pray for laborers to be sent across loved ones and friends' paths, it's people just like us that God moves into certain positions to be able to reach those people. We're part of that plan too. We're part of the laborers God's moving into positions to reach somebody's loved one because they're praying. Have you thought about it like that before? As you're working that job and you're grumbling and getting upset sometimes, that may be, just maybe, God put you there for a reason. So quit grumbling and start changing your mindset and going, okay, Lord, who is it that, you know, I'm supposed to be ministering to here? You know, being a good example, being a witness by my actions and my words, you know? But if you decide to just sit on your inheritance and hide it under a basket, you won't ever fulfill your call. You're never going to fulfill your call. Now, you know, it would be really sad and really terrible at the end of your life to stand in front of Jesus and him ask you, what have you done with what I've given you to do with? And you can't answer him because you sat on it and did nothing. That would be really sad. You'd be born again, but it would be really sad. You know, it's not right for Hollywood to be showing and setting an example to the world of how to get money and how the devil has provided all this stuff for them and how to act. It should be the other way around. It should be us taking back what the devil has stolen from us through our inheritance, being strong enough to take it back and show the world our God reigns and this is how it needs to be done. So there's no more excuses now. We have no excuses. We can make all the excuses we want, but really we have no excuses. We have no excuses at all. We have established that we as believers, if you're a believer, have been called as stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have been called as valuable managers of the blessing and the riches and the power of God. Now, we have to take the necessary steps to activate that in our life. And to do that, there's only one way to do that, and that is through the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 through 32, it tells us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we do this by letting go of all bitterness, all anger, all strife, all division, all evil speaking, because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell with any of that. He won't condone it. He won't be a part of it. So we have to move ourselves into a position that these things are not in our lives. Our natural mind and our intellect, we can let anybody teach them. We can let a human philosopher. We can let flaky friends and relatives influence us. We can let religious denominations that don't believe in the truth of the Word of God. We can let radio and TV talk shows influence us. Or we can let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God influence
Amen.
Us. Our spirit man, once it's born again, can be taught by the Holy Spirit. And he's the only one who can reveal truth to us. Unless you allow the Holy Spirit to help you and to teach your born-again spirit and help you get rid of these strongholds and impasses in your life, you're not going to get very far in your walk with God. you're not going to mature. Now, God's grace, and this was brought up last night, now God's grace is always there to bring you around that mountain again. Like Brother Charlie was saying, you see that? That rock looks familiar. Boy, that bush over there sure looks familiar to me. And so, you know, he'll bring you around. His mercy and grace, he'll bring you back around. And he'll go, okay, we're facing this again, this thing in your life. What do you want to do with it? You need to do thus and so. Now, what do you want to do with it? And you have a choice again at that point. Are you going to get rid of it with his help, or are you going to make the trek again? Kind of like the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, you know? Scripture tells us that he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. And through that, transformation and edification takes place. What do you think transformation and edification is? It's change. It means promotion of spiritual growth. It means maturity in God. Each one of us has a choice. Each one of us has a choice to make a decision. I can't make the decision for you. Charlie can't make the decision for me. We each have to make the decision for ourselves because we are only accountable for ourselves. I'm not accountable for Pastor Charlie. He's not accountable for me. When I get to heaven, he's not going to be holding my hand, and I can't say, well, I didn't do that because he wouldn't let me. Or because, you know, he said it was this way. When I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, to have him reveal truth to me, whether he was to know if he was saying what was right or wrong. We're accountable only for ourselves in the end. None of us can grow or go forward or have more of our inheritance without necessary changes in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.